Welcome to Not a Great Whisperer podcast with your host, Katie Ray. I have a very special guest today. I've known over 12 years. Amazing.
Probably 15.
But we're only 25. So imagine when we met. And I love having her today. I think she will have a sequel to this just because she's a chatterbox like me. And there's a lot of things she's overcome in her life. And I love to show hope and inspiration from people, especially who've gone through a lot. So we're going to tackle this today and then see how far we get in possible sequel. Melissa Boss, welcome to the show.
That's right.
Woohoo! Is this your first podcast?
Yeah.
I love popping cherries.
Oh, yes, I do too.
So great. So great. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited.
I know. So we're a lot alike. So we met at a restaurant, steakhouse. And I feel like people were like, wow, they're too much alike. They'll probably hate each other. Yet we loved each other.
Yeah.
You're blonde, curly, dark haired, curly, living True. Our lives, just True. Bubbly.
Getting it.
Loving people.
Getting it.
We've had some good times, a couple pranks for some of our friends at the restaurant. Shout out to the Russian. We apologize for any vulgarities we taught you along the way.
Very nice caboose.
Sweet box.
That's what you say in America when they have a very nice smile. You say, wow, you have a very nice caboose.
Or you say when you're handing a to-go box, here's your sweet box.
Yeah.
Either way.
Poor thing.
We had great times. Melissa was one of the first people to meet my now husband when we were dating. So that was fun. First outing.
First
outing.
A lot of firsts.
Okay.
From what I heard earlier. I mean, not in my bathroom, but a lot of firsts.
Rude. So we'll get into some fun times, but I really want to tackle, I think, important subjects that you kind of went through with your mom's suicide and then finding the cancer in your body. Mm-hmm. I think both of those are just eye openers for people. And I think they're subjects that we all kind of need to hear.
Yeah, I agree. It was actually my mom's, I think, 23 year. The day she committed suicide was July 21st, actually.
Wow.
So it was like just, yeah.
And how old were you?
17.
Yeah, that's huge, especially at a time where you're kind of stepping into your own with that teenage years.
Trying to like develop and like trying to like figure out which college I'm going to go to and like boyfriends and everything. It was just,
And your mom and dad were separated?
Yeah. They divorced when I was 6 and I stayed with my dad because she battled like depression and alcoholism. And she just wasn't the stable parent, I guess you could say. So, so my dad was better suited to take me. So he did. And, so I'd see her like on weekends and stuff, but, I guess I just, mental illness is such a serious thing. And I guess I just never realized, I guess, quite how serious it was, but I was young and, you know, I don't blame myself. I don't fault myself in any way, but I think that today, especially mental illness is huge and it's something that is kind of overlooked and sometimes it's too late.
Yeah. And I think one of your best attributes is how open you are and how much you connect with people. And I think from that, you realized how to kind of do that and make sure that people are able to talk to you. And you're very open-minded and you welcome so many people, everybody actually, that I've never seen you like ever not welcome someone.
Agreed.
And I think that might have made you that person, really.
Right. Because without, I think, like, the hardships that you go through in life, you don't turn into the person that you are. Like, if I was just, like, born with a silver spoon in my mouth, I don't think I would be this way. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. What do you think, what was the greatest lesson you've learned from all of this?
I know we were just making
a joke about
this. It's
hard to say greatest, but.
But just to be thankful and fortunate for everything you do have and not to focus on what you don't have. Because, I mean, if I looked at all the things I don't have, like I told you, I just started therapy and she made me like, she's like, all right, let's go through your life of everything that's happened and all your traumas. And I was like, her name's Ruthie. And I was like, you know what, Ruthie, you're really starting to make me feel shitty about my life. I wake up happy every day and now you're making me all like put all these things out on the table. And I feel like shit.
I make grateful calendars and you're making me make a shitty calendar.
But honestly, like, I mean, you know, you meet people in life, I think, that have not really gone through anything. And they're the ones that are like the most like nitpicky and like miserable and like just like entitled. And, you know, where I've been dealt like a real shit sandwich. But
but you made
do. Salt and pepper on it, and it's delicious.
You seasoned it up. And I want to make sure everybody knows listening that's not a chainsaw massacre behind us. It's someone doing the lawn outside the studio.
Oh, okay. Just, I thought somebody was getting
just
murdered.
Just because so. I don't want.
It's my first podcast. I was like, maybe they kill people in the back room. I don't know.
I don't want anybody to hear that and be like, wow, is Melissa about to leave the show?
Yeah.
Sorry for doing
that. My leg being severed.
Melissa and I also like to make jokes while talking about sad stories. So you're also welcome.
Yeah.
But I think that's good. You've always been grateful. That's something people forget to do. Like I even have those like short temper days where I have to take a breath and just be like, stop.
Right.
Think, be grateful. You don't want everything, you know, you want to be able to work for something. And, you know, we were in the restaurant business for so long. And I think when you went into sales, you had to figure out what type of sale you wanted. And now being in radio, I think that's perfect for you.
Oh yeah.
Especially the people you meet. Cause they're like radio personalities.
Right.
That's totally
right.
Like your bubbly self.
Selling copiers is a lot of fun too. Don't get me wrong.
Listen, if you've ever sold copiers, that means you can sell anything, by the way.
Dude, it's like, am I going from the two hardest jobs ever? I'm going to sell copiers. Now I'm going to sell air.
You're like, this is great.
Yeah.
Would you like air?
Yeah. I'm like, do you want a return on your investment? Sorry, can't prove it.
But you've always worked hard.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, I think my dad, like my parents, even though my mom wasn't there all the time, like they both instilled that in me. And, you know, I know she battled like depression. It sounds crazy to say that she was happy, but she seemed happy. And that's where mental illness, I think, is like super tricky because, I mean, look at some of the like Robin Williams and Kate Spade and all the people that commit suicide.
And you see their Facebook reel, I like to call it, like their story.
Right.
And you think it's all happy.
Right.
You don't know what's
behind. Yeah, and then you look and like with Kate Spade, Robin, like both of them like are like the most recent, I think, like celebrity suicides. But you look at them and you're like, how? You know what I mean?
I know.
And Kate Spade had a daughter. Like it just like really
hit home for you.
Yeah, big time. And, you know, I mean, I have a couple Kate Spade purses, but it's not like I was like some like crazy
No,
fan.
But it hit home because you knew the daughter, what she was feeling.
Right. And what the daughter, and actually, I worked in a nonprofit for a little short stint and she just had a little episode with pills and we don't know if it's a suicide attempt, but she's got a 12-year-old daughter and it just, it's heartbreaking.
You know that you had to balance emotions of the people who are left behind, the guilt, I know that when my aunt committed suicide, like I of course felt it was horrible as my godmother, but watching my mom as her sister and then her daughter as my cousin, like go through that. You just know that the people left behind are the ones that have to figure out how to manage.
Yeah. And it never, ever goes away.
Mm-mm.
I mean, and then it's, you know, and then you see like your like people, like I've had a high school friend, Kyle, he just like 3 years ago drove to the Skyway, jumped off the Skyway. Like
you don't know what's going through that time.
Oh, right. And I think I say this to a few of my friends that have, you know, I'm not going to say names, but a couple of them are really close. So you know one of them. And like she said one time, she's like, you know, it might just be easier if I wasn't here.
And I'm like. To say that to you especially.
Right, and all that. And I said, I'm like, you know what? It just takes one bad second, I feel like, for someone to make that decision and you can't turn back.
Because it's also, you just like your mom, like you knew she was happy in certain moments.
Right.
Like you're not saying she was just, depression isn't like, always like sometimes these people look happy, so it's not like you caught on. She was probably very happy when she was with you.
Yeah.
But she was just fighting other demons or something that was going through her life.
So, and I just told you about the new brother that I found. So my mom, quick story, my mom got pregnant when she was 16. It was back in 1968. Back then that was didn't fly. There's no abortions, there's no like going to high school pregnant.
Yep.
It was like a very like frowned
no support.
Upon
yeah,
like secret thing. So they sent her to it was called, House for Unwed Mothers. So she had to go to school there. She had to have the baby and give up the baby for adoption. He just came into my life like a few months ago. But that also like was like a puzzle piece. Like
it helped you understand a little piece
where
of what
she was
missing.
From, yes. And then I found out too recently that she was like molested as a child. So by an uncle. So. Yeah.
And you don't know, like, because you're so young, it's not like. She's going
to
go
to
you
to
for the
it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm like six and she's like, hey.
But she also did not have any of the support that we are growing. That's what I love about today. Like, there's just more support out there. There's more people being vulnerable.
Yes.
Not feeling like they're in shame. But she had nothing to support her, and she had to give up her child that she carried.
Yes.
And it's like, yes, some people decide adoption, which is a beautiful thing. But she didn't really have outlets afterwards, probably either.
No.
So there wasn't therapy or someone to talk to or mentor her.
She had to just keep on trucking through. And I'm sure when she had me, it was like so bittersweet, like heart wrenching. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm sure she was so excited. But at the same time, I can't even imagine like the inner like turmoil that she probably had, the guilt that was probably like resurfacing because, you know, and there's no internet. It's not like she can Google his name and like find him back then.
Of course. Yeah. You know, of course.
So
like they found you.
Yeah, exactly. And it took him this long. I mean, he's 10 years. He's 50, 10 years older than me.
Well, no, you're 20. So he's.
Oh, that's right. So I always get, my math is a little fuzzy, a little glacy.
So 30 years.
It's probably the goose egg.
Yeah, that must be it. I think that is huge. And I think people don't realize big picture. We just go straight to judgment. We go, oh, that's a horrible thing. How dare her leave her daughter behind? And for you, you found strength in it.
Right. And I knew it was never my fault.
Nope.
Like I knew that there were other demons that she was battling. And I'm very fortunate for that too, because there's so many people I feel like blame themselves or what if I did
spiral
this
down.
Or
yep.
Yes, or I could have done this. Or and I tell people that are going through suicide, I'm like, there's nothing you could have done. You can't save someone. You can't save them from themselves. You know, I mean, as much as we all want to try to save each other, I mean,
You can't. They have to be willing, just like with addiction, like they have to be willing to make that step. You can't save the world, you know,
with
so many parents like enabling their kids or.
Right.
It's like, no, that's the time where you have to separate. They have to figure it out.
Right. I agree.
It's hard. It's just all. And it sucks that you're finding out later, but I feel like it's so important that you're finding out these little puzzle pieces because for you, it just brings it all together because you knew there was something extra. You weren't sure what it was. You were young. It's not like you're going to know everything at 17.
Right.
And your dad wasn't going to know everything.
Right.
Great dad, though.
And great dad, but he kind of acts like it never happened.
Sad.
Which is
That's the age, though, I feel like, generation.
So my aunt just got really sick. She was in the hospital, my mom's sister. And I like avoided once she committed suicide. I didn't talk to them at all. I just like shut them out. So I just recently reconnected with them. And it was so nice when I went up to visit her in the hospital on Thursday. She's having like kidney failure, but so many things that I did, she was like, oh my gosh, you just like your mom did that. Your mom. And I never get that from anyone. My dad will never like admit those things. So like I left and I was like, oh, this is so great.
Yes.
Like, you know, cause I don't know how similar I am or was to her.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And that helps you just remember like, oh, my mom is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It just brings it back.
For sure.
We just had some creepy guy walk in. His name's Kevin, just living his best life.
With the chainsaw.
Just with the and the lawnmower stopped, so we're confused. I hope everybody enjoys this and feels like they're in the room with us right now.
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing. I think you should know you're like your mom. And I think she's a beautiful lady. I love the little pictures you always post on her anniversaries and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're super cute as a little kid. And now
I look the
same. I know you're just taller.
I know.
Your eyebrows a little bit done.
Yeah. I had to get medicated because I have cancer.
Yeah. So let's just bring that up and laugh about
let's
it.
Jump right in.
Cancer sucks. Hashtag fortunate.
Hashtag fortunate. Yeah.
So the picture when you noticed.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So jumping right to it.
Jump right into the cancer now.
Here we are.
I'm like, everyone's like, this poor girl.
And you're like, hee.
I know. So, so I think I have a good side, clearly.
Who doesn't?
I
mean,
yeah, exactly. So I would look in pictures and I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, how come my one side of my neck is so skinny and the other side is like so like fat or like
bulgy?
Puffy. Mm-hmm. But I kind of ignored it. And then one day, I started feeling it on my way to Orange Theory. And I'm obsessed with Orange Theory and like
OT, I've been going, is it called OT?
OTF.
What the fuck? OTF.
Yeah. So I've been going there for years. So these people, I'm still going into the I go Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. at Largo.
Which is only come Melissa. Visit. It's only Melissa and the coaches.
I know, it's just me. This is me in the class. And so I've like known them forever. And so I like went in there, of course. And I'm like, oh my God, can you guys see this? What is this? And it was like a hard lump. I could see, I was on the treadmill and I was running and I could like see it.
Scary.
So the next day, I'm not a hypochondriac at all, but I went to my doctor do you know Dr. Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Yes. So I went to Dr. Fitz the next day and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to need you to come back in a couple of days for an ultrasound. I came back for an ultrasound, laying on the table. I remember the dress I was wearing, everything. And the radiologist says, first of all, I'm like, how long have you been doing this? I'm like asking.
I have so many things to do today. I don't need my health. I'm like,
can you make
order.
It snappy?
My health doesn't need to be
in order.
Yeah,
I've been doing this a long time. She's like 19 years. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess, you know.
Are you certified?
Yeah. I'm like, let me see your documentation. I'm like. So she's like, okay, so you have a solid mass. But a solid mass doesn't always mean cancer, but cancer does always come in the form of a solid mass. And I'm like laying there and I'm like, dude, is this bitch just, why does she keep screaming cancer? Like she keeps saying cancer. And I had like tears streaming down my face. And I'm like,
of course.
So then my doctor comes in, who's been my primary care for like 20 years, comes in and says, you know what? You know what? If that is cancer, Melissa, you're one of the strongest people I know. You're going to get through this. And I'm like,
wow, guys.
I'm like,
is this how you talk to every patient?
I know. So I said, I laughed. And the second I found it, I had a bad feeling. I never like voiced that or like put that into the universe.
Because you weren't trying to, yes.
Right. But yeah, so from there, it was just, they didn't think it was cancer. They did two biopsies. Didn't think it was cancer. They wanted to take out the lump. So it was on my thyroid. And they wanted to take it out because the lump was so big. So a thyroid controls everything, your metabolism, yep. Your moods, your sleep, your energy level, all of your hormones come from your thyroid.
Which nothing was wrong with your energy level. I think we can clarify that.
I know. Thank God. I know. Everyone's like, was she like this before? And my husband, he's like, oh, dude, she's been like this forever. My dad's like, she's been like this since she was born. So where was I? I have really bad ADHD, too.
Oh, no worries. I'm here for you. The thyroid that controls everything.
So, yeah, the thyroid controls everything. So that's what I was, like, worried about. And you can, like, get really fat really easily if you know, which I should be from what they said.
That was the first thing you were upset about.
Yeah.
Cancer? But am I fat?
Yeah. I'm like, no. That shows what a sick world we live in.
Yep.
That's up for a whole other podcast. Head.
Yeah.
Whole nother. We need like 4 days on that one. Not 24 hours, 4 days. So anyway, so I go, she wants to take out my thyroid, whatever. I'm freaking out about it. But they're like pounding it in my head that it's not cancer. So I'm like, it's not cancer. I mean, so I went to my surgery. They took out half of it. I mean, I was so convinced that it was not cancer that for my post-op, I went there. I didn't bring my husband. I didn't bring my best friend, who's also my stepsister. I didn't bring my dad. I just went by myself.
Oh, wait, for the surgery post-op?
Yeah.
Okay, so how quick was that after your diagnosis of this mass?
Like 3 months it took. Okay. So late October is when.
Oh, they still didn't tell you it was cancer yet.
No. Yes. So late October is when it all started. And then I had the ultrasound, two biopsies, and then my.
So did they have to open it up to see if it was cancer?
Oh, they cut me open.
Okay. And that's when they noticed it was cancer.
Yeah. So what
they
did.
Okay. There wasn't a test.
Sorry. My idea. I'm like, just.
No,
jumping.
You're fine. I'll get you. I'll get you.
I think
you.
The people
I'll wrap
like,
it
are
back
in my
around.
Head with me.
You're like, how did
voices
you not.
In there, but maybe it's not you guys.
Katie, how did you not know that?
You guys not hear
that? How did you not?
Yeah. So anyway, so I go in for surgery. I should probably fill you guys in. So I go in for surgery on December 28th. They cut me open, and they are just going to take half of my thyroid, the half with the tumor on it. So I'm like, okay, great. And you should see me in the hospital bed. I mean, I'm like using Snapchat filters. I'm laughing.
Yeah.
One of the nurses literally was like, I've never seen somebody this happy going into surgery. And I was like, yeah, and they're taking half my thyroid. Isn't it great?
Yeah. Every time I like go under anesthesia, I'm always like laughing. Where some people are crying or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, one, two.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even under anesthesia yet.
Oh, gosh.
That was just me. So they opened me up. They cut me open on my neck right here. You can see it. And then they take half my thyroid. And believe it or not, my recovery, I couldn't drive or anything for like a week. But it wasn't that bad. I've never seen Breaking Bad. Ironically, I'm wearing the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Breaking Bad?
No, but I know my sister watches it.
So I watched like that. That's what I did for like 12 hours a day is watch Breaking Bad.
Of course, that's what you should do.
But it's the guy gets cancer.
You've learned so much though from it.
I was like, maybe I should cook crystal meth. I should buy a boat.
He had cancer. I mean, I feel like we're two peas in a pod.
Yeah, exactly.
I should get a boat and I should cook meth with the cancer.
I can do it on the
But they still haven't told you you had cancer.
Okay, yeah, no. So
what?
Bring it back. Bring me back. Bring me back.
I brought you back. I brought
and
you
now
back.
I'm gonna boat making meth.
Yeah, boat making meth. Let's bring you back to the cancer.
Bring me back in. So, yeah. So I get the surgery. Whatever. I go back a week later for my post-op, and I hear them. I can hear the nurse and the doctor that did my surgery, and I can like hear them talking, and I can hear them talking about how they need like certain paperwork, and I was like,
"What's going on?
Oh God." I just had like a really, I like my stomach dropped. I like my face probably went
yeah,
like
but yeah, pale.
Yeah.
Albino.
And it took forever. It felt like forever. It was probably like 6 seconds, but it felt it was forever for her to come in. And so she's like just staring at me. And she also took my tonsils out like years prior to this. So I've known her for a while.
You're just like saying.
And so I'm looking at her and I'm like, she's like, so. And I was like, why, what are you doing? I'm like, and I literally said, just don't fucking tell me I have cancer. Oh. And she just blank stared at me and she said, yeah, we found cancer cells in your tumor. I said, well, wait a minute. No, no, no. Just because you found those cells in my tumor, you took the tumor out. So that means it's gone, right? She's like, no.
So your medical background came into effect right there to tell the nurse exactly.
Exactly.
No, 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 no.
I said, no, you're wrong, ma'am. I said, doctor, you're wrong.
Read it over. I'll tell you exactly.
I said, you know what? Do you want me to translate that for you? I said, I'm a real good
person. No, but that was your shock. You're like, no.
Right. So I was like, no, you took it out though. So I'm fine. And she's like, no, unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. And I was like, so what does this mean? She's like, well, you have to come back. Like, you can come back in like a week. We're going to cut you right back open. And then we're going to take the other side. Because I didn't know this, but cancer is kind of like the angry bear at the zoo. So if you poke the bear.
Oh, they made it worse.
Yes. If you poke the bear, which is AKA the cancer, the tumor, it can like get really mad and like get irate and like spread. I call it like poking the
bear.
The
angry bear, yeah.
Poking the bear
you
at the zoo.
You would probably poke a bear at the zoo.
Yeah, I would.
That's why. Oh my gosh. So did you go home to tell Kyle or did you call him right away? Were you just like in shock
So I left and I just like was instantly like,
are you fucking kidding
was in
me?
Shock. And then like my dad lives like right around the corner from Largo Medical Center where I was. Yeah. And, so I went to his house and I just like cried and cried. And then I went home. And so I have three good girlfriends. We all dressed up
live
as Golden Girls.
Which is Kiss. Important. And they're great girlfriends.
You see Kiss?
Yes.
The Kiss
yes,
one. Yeah. Awesome. The four of us. We've been friends for like 25 years. They're.
I know them.
Yeah. You know them. And so I called them. They came over. My husband bought like a bunch of Fireball, which I don't drink
so
anymore.
So important when you get diagnosed with cancer.
Dude, I was like, let me just get out of this reality, which I don't drink Fireball anymore. I just want to get that out there.
Cleared
it's
it up.
It's like formaldehyde. So I made a decision though that night. Like I cried and cried and cried. I cried myself to sleep. Like it was terrible. But the next day I woke up and I said, I made some rules for myself. I said, I'm not going to think about like, my insurance and what if I lose my hair and like, what about my job? Am I going to lose my job? Are they going to be cool with me? Like, what am I going to do? Like, what if
you
I
got all
fat?
The worries out
what
first? Yeah. You got all the worries
like,
out first.
I was, instead of like overwhelming myself and like spiraling out of control, I was like, all right, I'm going to take it one day at a time, 1 minute at a time if I need to. I'm not going to go on Google. I'm not going to Google because that's huge.
WebMD, don't.
Yes, I'm not.
You're always dying in that. Like, it's always death.
Yeah, if I would have Googled my goose egg.
Concussion for years. Yeah. You're never going to know your name again.
Exactly. What is my name?
Melissa has a bump on her head, but that's another story. Go on.
Yeah. Goes along with my ADD and my clumsiness.
But you gave yourself boundaries.
I gave, yes, my rules and limitations and boundaries to where I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to get out of control with this because it's an out of control situation as it is, but I'm not going to let myself get out of control. I'm just going to do what I can and, you know, follow the guidelines, like figure out how I should eat without a thyroid and figure out things I should, like I, you know, don't have sugar. When this is the best thing ever. People are like, doctors, two worst things for cancer, stress and sugar.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know what? I have cancer. I'm just going to tell myself to calm down. You're not stressed out. But for real, I don't get stressed out. And I think.
How are you with sugar?
I don't. I mean, I drink
alcohol.
You're
good about it?
I drink vodka. Oh,
okay.
But vodka soda. But I don't really. Well, actually.
Food-wise, you're good about
my
it?
My husband bought these two pies and I actually.
Okay. I don't mean like in the last 3 days. Did you just have guilty.
I know my guilt is coming out. I'm like,
pies,
man, I had like
two, Kyle,
like,
you're an asshole.
Yeah. I'm like, pies. I was like, don't ever buy those again. No, but in general, I try.
No,
and it's so much
it.
Easier to like not have sugar because people are like, how are you like not going to have sugar? I'm like, dude, when it's like your health. So when you have thyroid cancer, so I'm an active cancer patient forever now.
Yep.
So
because thyroid.
Because
is that why? Or?
Because everybody with thyroid cancer is because you have a thyroid bed, and if they don't get all the cells out, which I didn't go to Moffitt because my doctor didn't tell me I should go to a cancer specialist. She's an ear, nose, and throat surgeon, so she told me to go back to her, which I did. If I could turn that around, I would have gone to Florida Cancer or Moffitt. But so I have these cells. Now my number is so low that like I don't really have to worry about it.
And just getting checkups and stuff.
Yeah. And I go like twice a year still. I'll have to go once a year for the rest of my life to Moffitt. But again, I'm fortunate because I live 45 minutes from one of the best cancer centers that we have in our country.
Yeah, where people have to fly in or do things.
Right, exactly. But let me tell you what's really scary. So when you go there, the first thing you do is go do your blood work and you report or like, I'm so fortunate when I go there, I'm really upset because I don't think about it on the regular.
Yeah.
But when I get there and they say, do you have a port? I'm like, no, my face lights up because I'm like, I'm so fortunate. Because
you see all these people with ports.
Yes. Yes.
And continuous chemo,
and all
right?
they have to do is just get my blood. Yes.
And that's continuous radiation.
Yeah. Right. So, what's so scary is how many people, so you get a wristband. How many people are wearing the wristband?
Is it like a fucking club?
It's.
They give you a wristband?
It is like a club. Happened? It's like, to the club. To
you come club. In with like some bass on your phone and you're like, it's okay, you guys, I'm here. Yeah. The boss. And you're like,
Rick Rouse.
Oh my gosh. That's.
No, but it's really scary how many people have cancer. And that's
the thing. When I used to go on infertility clinics and see the next woman or couple or man, and your heart is just like, wow, there's so many new faces.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with cancer. And don't you, when you're doing the port or getting the radiation, don't people sit together sometimes with their
certain
treatment?
Had to take a pill called radioactive iodine, which
does it make you sick?
I didn't feel good. It came in a 50-pound lead metal canister. I actually just showed somebody the picture of it last night. And then you open it up and that gets a little teeny tiny capsule. So
that's scary as shit.
And it makes you radioactive.
Oh, okay.
And they give it to you and then they send you home. So I had to sit. I had to be quarantined for like 5 days. I couldn't be in contact with a human being, an animal.
You can't see Kyle for 5 days at your house?
No. And I had to put like plastic down my bed. I had to put my cell phone, my remote controls in plastic. If I left the room, I had to wear gloves and socks. I couldn't eat anything with a core. Alfia eats apple cores, by the way. I couldn't eat. That's our friend from Russia. Russians eat apple cores. I just want to put that out there.
So you can't eat an apple core. So, bummer.
I know. I was like, damn it. Wait, I'm not doing this. So I was literally radioactive. So I had to flush the toilet like 3 times when I peed. I had to like rinse the sink out when I brushed my teeth. Oh, yeah.
That's for 5 days. This is your instructions.
Yes.
How scary is that? What if your cat came in?
What if you went to Publix? And I said this. I said, what if somebody was pissed about this and they went to Publix and they stood next to people in line?
What does it do? Do we know?
You make it, you're radioactive. Like, so I literally was glowing inside. Like, so that was supposed to kill all the cells.
Did it?
No. Here I am.
Radioactive as fuck and not killing.
Oh, yeah. You should see my posts about being radioactive.
My gosh.
Yeah. But, So thankfully, again, I was fortunate. I didn't have to get a port and go through radiation and I didn't lose my hair. And it was just 5 days of hell, but I would rather have 5 days of hell than .
But you also experienced so much where I feel like you help other people share their story.
Right.
And it's like you had the scare, you had the shock.
Yeah.
You had you went through every grieving possible, just like you did with your mom.
Yeah.
Like you've had all of these where you've overcome so much and your attitude is so strong that it just helps people realize you're going to get dealt your shit sandwich sometimes.
Right.
But you got to figure out how to cope.
And sometimes this is like what I tell people. Sometimes in life, the only thing that you can control is your attitude and how you react to situations.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I have chills.
And you are a true example of it.
Because
you could have went down a hole.
Yes, I could have
not talked to Kyle, not used your support. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that could have gone wrong. But you can only control your reaction to situations and your attitude. And if you have a good attitude, I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like life will life, I've had a lot of shitty things. And again, with my cancer, I can't have kids. Uh-huh. Like, it's like the chances of me
the
actually.
Spiral of, yeah. Yeah. But you are your little twin, your niece.
Who's yes. I know. She's so sweet. Ridiculous. I love her. Oh, yeah.
Is your twin.
Little Lauren. She's so sweet. You? Yeah. And then I have another little niece. Uh-huh. She's almost two. She'll be two in December. Her name is Devin, but I call her Diggy.
I know, but Diggy. You use that and you're the best aunt ever. But yes. It's like, you know that people go through that too. So they didn't tell you before the radiation to freeze anything or do anything.
And again,
you don't blame other people. You're not like, oh, yeah.
No, not at all. And I think too, I'm like, well, maybe if I wanted kids, I probably would have them by now. You know what I mean? And
But you got ripped the option away and you're like, okay, so exactly. No options.
And that's the thing. And then, you know, I have friends who are like, well, go do the fertility thing. And I'm like, dude, I've been poked and prodded for the last 2.5 years and in doctor's offices. And I don't want to be let down again.
I know. And that's like, trauma altogether, just hospitals.
Yes.
Where that is, again, another procedure, another
right.
And you get poked and prodded.
Yeah, and I mean, I like to be poked and prodded.
Nobody
there,
buys
but
you a dinner, and nobody buys you a dinner. Yeah, exactly. It's like what?
I'm like, I feel the hospital scene,
but
and,
I don't. Like, why didn't I get dinner?
Yeah, exactly. I just want a steak. I mean, I asked for too much of life, but like, I don't want to do that. Since when are the roosters?
Roosters and Ybor are protected class. Okay. If you hear them in the background. So we can't put a muzzle on them. They just get to cock a doodle.
I was actually like, I wonder if I could put a muzzle on a rooster. I'm so glad you said no, because that's
or chickens.
My next step
I
was going to be
the same house. I don't know.
Yeah. We just came back from Key West and they have them everywhere. Yeah. So I was like, I actually took pictures of them and sent them to my husband.
Why BKN Creative Studio moved, but not far from the chickens/roosters/ whatever we want to call them.
The hen
they
house.
They own Ybor.
They should call this the hen house.
It's the new hen house.
New and improved.
But I want our viewers to know, like, your greatest lesson from this and what you do every day to really overcome the obstacles that you face, because I can walk up to anybody who's met you and be like, oh my gosh, Melissa's amazing. Oh my gosh, her personality is great. Oh my gosh, she's so much fun. And what kind of gets you there?
That was
four questions in one.
I actually got it, even though I have bad ADD. Okay. So my biggest lesson, again, I hate to be like a broken record, but it's just that I'm fortunate. I'm fortunate every day that I wake up. I truly wake up happy, which I'm so thankful for. Like, there's so many people that don't. And I just don't take anything for granted ever. And I know everyone thinks I'm like some crazy animal because I go to Orange Theory like 4 or 5 times a week. But that's literally like my
stress relief.
Yes.
Yeah.
I go in there and I don't think about anything.
Stress
I don't think
and
about
sugar.
My job.
You're getting rid of the stress.
Right. I'm like, does anybody have a piece of pie? No, but I go there. I don't think about anything, which is crazy because my head is like always
shut
like,
down. I know. I was just
out of
say.
Control.
And people like, have to find that, right?
Right. Yes. 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 And that is like my coping thing. Also, my job. Like, I like my job. I like being around people. I like, believe it, I'm like a master cold caller. Like, I will walk into a business and get them to like sit down and
talk to me about life.
Yes. Yeah. Or anything. Yeah. I'm like, hey, you want to do radio?
Hey, I also know somebody who sells copiers on my old team. You can also sell them
like,
a copier.
Hey, oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to talk about copiers? I used to say this when I walk in. I'd be like, hey, look, to be honest, I don't really want to talk about copy machines either, but I can save you a lot of money. Let's just, you have 20 minutes. And they'd be like, all right. I'm like,
you're like, listen.
Yeah.
Who
you can
doesn't
make a lot of money.
Talk?
Didn't Chris?
It's fax. Yes. Xerox.
Yeah, I try to get my job at Dex,
sounds
remember?
Great. Yeah, it sounds great. Xerox, Dex, it doesn't matter.
Dex, Cox.
Who doesn't want it? She's now at Kiax Media. Kiax.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're a perfect example of attitude just kind of taking over. And you did it. You laid down your rules. You're like, let me get every worry out.
Yeah.
And now I have to fight
and
this.
And there's no point in like stressing about anything in life. Like, because I feel like when you worry about stuff, you're just like asking for like bad stuff to happen. Just like let it go. Like get it out of your mind and like think about good things and positive things and kittens and roosters with muzzles and chainsaws.
Roosters, muzzles. Everything that happened to us today, we thought of all the positives.
Yeah, the hen
roosters,
house.
Roosters, muzzles, and chainsaws.
And goose eggs on your forehead. I mean,
these
it doesn't get any better than
examples.
This.
Trying to help the audience just really focus on the positive.
Yeah, no, but really, I mean, your attitude is sometimes, like I said, the only thing you can control. And just have a good attitude. If you have a good attitude, I think good things will happen.
Are there certain quotes you go by or like things you listen to get your day started?
Master P is a really good, I like.
504 Boys?
504 Boys, yeah. CeCe Cooker Jones.
Usually you hear people
They're like Oprah. You're like two.
Oh, dude, no, I literally Master have P. like
my. I do not doubt. We were very good. With
I
that.
Have a song track. It's called "My Rap Game Ridiculous." Mm-hmm. I made it.
Get hyped.
Yeah, but music is what gets me through. It's the first, very first thing. Ask my husband. The first thing I do. I wake up. I open the blinds and I turn on music.
Yeah.
It could be 80s. It could be. Well, it could be anything but country, really.
Did you ever have things kind of creep in, or like, did you stop social media for a little bit? Did you do anything that you could notice was distracting you from your positive routine?
Yes. I don't think social media is healthy because, first of all, it's a big distraction and there's so many better things you could be doing. I'm guilty of like
scrolling and doing nothing.
Yes. And then I stop and I'm like, dude, I don't even know this person. How did I get in this rabbit hole? I've just wasted 20 minutes of my
now
life.
I know their third cousin.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that they're married. I'm like, who are they? I don't know. But here I am. And then I like get mad at myself.
Yeah. I have to like segment times because you need marketing for businesses and things.
Oh, dude, I'm a hustler. Yeah. I'm like trolling for business.
Exactly.
Always.
So I get that, but it's like, you're right. You have to limit yourself because you get, and then you get like sad.
Right.
And you're like, what am I?
I get pissed at myself because I'm like, I can't believe I just wasted 20 minutes on people I don't even know and don't even care about and don't matter in my life. And I could have been
not going to talk to them again.
Yeah. I'm like, I could have, I could have been like, who knows? I don't know. A lot of things I could have been doing, but I can't think of any of them.
I'm not going to share any either. Chainsaws, muzzles, roosters, chickens, hen house. So I think for this episode, I think there's definitely going to be a sequel. And some people say the sequel isn't as ever good, but I think it's going to be great.
I think it'll be better.
But with the boss, Mel Boss, I think attitude, sky's the limit. You've overcome so many obstacles, and now with you and Kyle, I think, wow, what a support.
Yeah.
And things happen timing wise for so many reasons to learn from. But I think you are just amazing, inspiration, crazy. For me to say someone has a crazy amount of energy.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know.
Because people are probably like, what? Who know me? They're like, who is this girl?
I know. And that's why I'm like a clumsy klutz because of my energy level.
Yeah, I get it.
It's frustrating. I Googled adult ADHD and clumsiness yesterday. I swear to God, looking at my
You're not supposed to Google as part of your list.
Yeah, but it's only for cancer.
Oh, okay.
And Google other. Oh, she said, you're not allowed to Google anything. She's like,
Google anything.
Put a muzzle
Google is not allowed.
I know.
But I think you're at a perfect spot to just help people and you love doing that.
I do.
And I'm just proud of you. I think I love knowing you. I love being able to reach out and be like, hey, do you want to be on my podcast?
Yeah.
I love
like,
your
oh my
life.
God, I almost forgot.
I love your life. You're like, what do you want to talk about? Nothing's off limit.
Yeah.
But I think, do you have any last kind of words for our listeners?
Just be thankful every day, just that you wake up and that just be thankful for the small things. That's what I would say. Just the small things you don't think about, like having air conditioning in your car or like having a fridge that has food in it or having loved ones that care about you, that you laughing, like just that's the way I live my life. Like just be thankful for everything that you have and think about the things you do have and don't think about things you don't have.
Yeah, because you've actually experienced a lot of loss.
Right.
And then right. you realize
and that's
wait,
why I appreciate everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I love that. And it makes me sad sometimes, but it doesn't because I know who you are and how it's molded you. So it's not like a pity party for you. You never share your story for pity. You do it for people to learn.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. And just to know that like life might feel bad sometimes, but it's just not that bad.
And it's just temporary and it's going to get better.
Make your list, boundaries for yourself.
Right. Exactly. Stop social. Do things that aren't healthy for you. Stop doing those things.
Are you radioactive right now?
I don't think so. But whenever I go through the little tube at Moffitt, I'm like, am I glowing? And they're like, they don't think it's funny.
You are glowing. Oh, they hate my joke.
No. Nobody likes a cancer joke either. I was like, hey, do I get a cancer discount?
And nobody likes it?
Nobody. No. That's how I had to deal with it, though.
Okay.
Like, make
I
jokes
know.
About it.
I get it. That's
yeah. Way. Yeah. Nobody likes cancer jokes.
It's okay. We'll allow it here.
Yeah.
But I love you. I'm glad you're on the show.
Me too.
Let's go through your handles on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. The Mel Boss,
THEMELBOSS.
And then my Facebook is just Melissa Boss Enos.
Yeah. You're welcome, Kyle. Shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to my homies. I love that. We're at Not a Great Whisper and at The Real Krey, K-R-E-Y. Tune into this episode. It's going to be fabulous when it's out. We're at BKN Creative Studios and you will be hearing Morty's music after this. Thanks for joining. Thank you.